Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Andre, I've heard that truck sales are red hot.
Well, some of the trucks are red hot and some are not.
Okay, so which ones are red hot and which ones are not?
Well, we're going to find out on this episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast. And we're living through very interesting and fast-changing times.
Oh, yes, we are, Andre.
Yes.
We've just gone from tariffs that potentially could have tanked the entire automotive industry.
To almost no tariffs.
Almost
some tariffs.
Except, yeah. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on the tariffs. As you guys know, the Trump administration threatened and then issued tariffs of 25% on Canadian vehicles and on Mexican vehicles. Then we did some videos. By the time you got your video done, those tariffs were at least put on hold for a month.
For 30 days. But Chinese tariffs are still there for 10%. And it affects some vehicles, primarily like Lincoln vehicles that are built in China and also GM Buick vehicles.
The Nautilus.
Yes.
It's built in China.
So, but this is not about that. This, we have some data about sales in the United States for pickup trucks.
But I just want to get to some comments that I read. And some of the comments in the videos that I did talking about what cars are made in Canada and trucks in Mexico was that, hey, we don't want to hear this. You know, this is politics. And the reason we report on this is because this is the, I would say, the cornerstone to all automotive reviews, production, everything, because
it affects price.
It affects price, and it affects, you know, availability of some of those popular vehicles in the land. And, you know, various news reports have said that if these tariffs were to go back in place, that, you know, car prices would jump from anywhere from $3,000 to $9,000. Some people are saying, and I think this is actually true, that within 3 weeks there would be mass layoffs because of how interconnected this automotive industry is, right? I think people sometimes forget that we no longer live in a world where everything is made in America. And I'm sure some people want to go back to that, and you probably could go back to that, but you can't do it overnight. And so what happens in between the time that you go back to that and the time that you kind of cut the cord with these other countries? And the reality of that is bad things happen, because there's a saying, Andre, there used to be a saying, what's good for GM is good for America. I'm not sure that's true, but I know what's true is that what's bad for GM is bad for America. I mean, you know, these companies employ tens of thousands of people. And if these people get laid off, there's like knockoff effect. There's pretty common accepted statistic that every one job in the automotive industry affects seven others because of all the parts suppliers. And so it would be, you know, an economic landslide of bad news if all of a sudden factories started closing down.
And the most popular vehicle in the United States is a pickup truck.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
It's the F-Series, it's the GM trucks, it's the Ram trucks and the rest. We have some data from Ford. And by the way, here at TFL Studios, and personally me, I'm just speaking for myself right now.
Yeah.
It's super important, local economy. That's why we support all the local companies. Just look at some of the partners we have. You know, 10 companies, Roofnest, which is local, Boreas Trailers, many, many trailer manufacturers are local, suspension manufacturers, truck builders. We review a lot of local companies. And these are small companies, by the way, that employ, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 people, maybe more. And we love this stuff, right? And a lot of the stuff that makes it possible is the pickup truck.
Yes, and of course, the little known, what was that thing called? The little electric car that was built in Colorado. You remember that thing? It looked like a giant slice of cheese. It's a little mobility thing.
Oh, like little wedge?
Yeah, it was a little wedge shape. Yeah. We support you too, even though you're out of business because you're local to us. Yes, we support all Colorado companies in business or not.
Yes, that's that makes sense.
Andre, there's no manufacturing of cars or trucks in Colorado.
Trailers. A lot of geared up trailers are manufactured right here. Boreas campers, Super Track, Super Tramp campers.
You say Boreas as if somebody knows what they are.
They know what they are because if you watch TFL Truck and TFL Now videos, you do know what they are.
People know Airstream.
Airstream is not built in Colorado.
No, it's built, I think, in Indiana.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll stop waving the Colorado flag, and let's go back to talking about winners and losers, what trucks sold well and what trucks didn't sell so well. So I've heard a little bird say, that Ford knocked out of the park.
Yeah. As far as pickup trucks are concerned, Ford is doing super well. Just listen to this. So this is, I have a, if you're watching this on TFL Talk channel on YouTube, I have a spreadsheet from Ford, and I usually love doing this, getting the data directly from the manufacturer, because if you read it somewhere else, you know, there may be some, you know, inconsistency, but Ford themselves said that they sold 58,644 F-Series trucks in January, which is 20% higher than the year prior. This is a huge increase. I mean, good job, Ford. But it's not so good in some other Ford with some other Ford vehicles as well.
Yeah, I'm just Googling this little electric car now that was built in Colorado. Okay. So wait, hold on. So 20% more, that's a staggering number.
It's a huge number for a Ford pickup truck.
Do we have a real number to put to that? Like how many units? How many trucks?
So yeah, and also we not just have the number of trucks, but also Ford published how many Super Duties they produced and sold in the same period. So this data sometimes is not very clear because usually manufacturers publish data at the highest levels. So just F-Series encompasses F-150, F-250, all the way up to F-600 commercial trucks. But they produced 20,792. Basically, a third of all F-Series trucks were Super Duties. So now we know this specifically based on Ford data. And of course, you can get more granular, but you have to pay different companies, data aggregators who look at registration data across the country, and you can kind of drill down more into this. But now we basically know from Ford, approximately one third of F-Series they sell and they build are Super Duties.
All right, Cole. Hey, which Cole, is cool. can you Google this, please, and see if you can find a picture of this? It's called the Fritchel Electric Automobile. It's spelled,
how the heck do you spell that?
F-R-I-T-C-H-L-E, Fritchel. This is this little electric car that was built in Denver in the 90s, way ahead of its time. Nope, that's not it. Or maybe that was 1910. Holy cow. That's a Fritchel.
You went to 1910?
I think I went too far back.
Holy mother.
Yeah, that's the wrong one.
But it was built in Denver. See how deep Colorado goes? I mean, we have some automotive and automotive-related data here. By the way, a lot of like truck customizers are based in Denver area. A lot of Toyota. Toyota has a huge presence in Colorado and in Denver. So, like, Toytech, running for tacos, many outdoor company and accessory companies who built vehicles, accessories.
All right, Cole, you got to go to YouTube, okay? And go to
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. You found it. Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. What's it called?
Electric.
Yeah, that was built in the 90s in Colorado.
1979?
Okay, maybe in the 70s in Colorado. Isn't that crazy?
It's kind of ugly.
Yeah. Is there a name for this thing, Cole? What is this thing?
So Unique Mobility Electrek. E-L-E-C-T-R-E-K. Electrek.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was our claim to fame, Andre. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see this bad boy. If you're listening to it, I say you Google it because
it looks like a Pinto
It looks like
married.
A wide-eyed Pinto.
It's not very attractive, but it was electric.
No, this thing was definitely hit over the nose with the ugly stick. I mean the proportions are all wrong. The van part is weird. Look at the door glass frame. It's like a weird shape. It kind of does a V shape. All right, well, we've taken up of your time with the color. You this is your fault, Andre. You got me going on electric cars built in Colorado with your whole
I never talked about cars. This is a truck podcast.
With your whole spiel on what we support local stuff.
Yes. I always, my primary thing, when I go to this grocery store, I try to look for local produce, and I try to look for local campers and local tents.
Now you can have me look up local produce. All right, let's keep going with the truck. So 20% increase, a huge number.
So this number may be masked by something else that's happening.
What's it masked by?
Because Ram truck is not doing so good.
So you're saying they had conquest buys.
I'm guessing, but Stellantis and Ram did not publish their January numbers yet.
Yeah.
So I cannot say for sure what's happening with GM right now and Ram, because they're publishing on the quarterly schedule as far as their sales numbers and sales data. We do have some Toyota numbers from January. But I think if you're a Ford truck fan and a Ford truck builder.
Did I say aficionado?
Yes. You're loving what's happening at F-Series. But you know
do you think Ford fans really care? Is it like a Super Bowl? Is it like who scores?
Actually, it is Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it. But do you think that – this is a serious question. Do you think that, like, if you buy a Toyota Tundra, do you really think that it matters to you how many F-150s Ford sold or how many Silverados Ford sold? Is this like are you keeping score, or are you – is this because now you're on Team Tundra?
Or Team Ford.
So you are keeping score?
I don't know. So I have.
Okay.
But I'm a managing editor of TFL Truck. How about you let us know? But whenever we do either a written post about sales data or some videos related to this, they usually get a lot of comments from you guys, the audience. And I think it's competition, right? We're watching Super Bowl because it's a competition between two football teams. I want to know how does... You know, if I own a Ford truck,
but there are more than two teams. There's a bunch of teams.
Yes, and that's why I mean, I think competition drives a lot of people. And I think when you're looking at how another,
let me ask you this.
Yes,
the two most popular cars in the United States, and there's a reason there's a reason I brought this up.
Okay,
two most popular cars in America are the Honda CR-V, number two.
And the
RAV4.
Yes.
And the reason I brought this up is that for the first time, the RAV4 outsold the F-150. Not the F-Series, but the F-150. So the RAV4...
Do we know this for sure?
That's what Zach said. I'm going with what he said. He's pretty...
Our producer, Zach?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what he said, yeah. And usually when he says stuff, he's right on. All right, so that's why I brought it up. But the question is, if you're on Team RAV4, do you care who's on Team CR-V? And I would say that... In the car world, at least, people don't care.
That's less passion, do you think? Is a RAV4 more of a utility appliance?
Well, there's a lot more of those to begin with, okay. Right? I mean, full-size truck, there's basically three.
Three major brands.
Yeah, yeah.
Four major brands.
Yeah, yeah. But with
but size, with crossovers,
there's dozens
of brands.
Yeah, so I don't think, and I also think that people who buy those cars are more likely just getting them for good, solid transportation. And that people who are buying those trucks tend to be more like enthusiasts, right? So they are passionate about their Silverado or their F-150. Or
their maybe
Ram.
Their mother or father owned a Silverado or an F-150.
Or their Tundra, yeah.
Yes.
Whereas nobody says, hey, my mom drove a... My dad drove
CR-V, and by God,
I want to drive a CR-V.
Maybe they do say that.
I don't know. but I think there but at the same time, like if you get into like sports cars, then probably people do, right? You could be like a Ferrari guy or gal,
or a Mustang guy or gal.
Well, I was going to say Porsche,
Corvette guy or gal.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But with trucks, it's definitely tribal. I think it certainly is. So for all of you on Team F-150, hurrah! And for all of you on Team RAV4, hurrah!
Yes. Or if you're a GM fan or a Ram fan or a Toyota fan, We have less numbers right now, so we can't quite speak
all
exactly.
Right, let's take a little detour here.
Yeah, okay.
Right? I think this is a good place to get serious, Andre.
Whoa.
What the heck is going on at RAM? And can they fix it?
Okay, so here's what I can say. So Case and I went out to several dealerships this week.
Yeah, tell me about that.
And we did a story about the most lowest prices we could find. And we looked at RAM heavy duties. We looked at RAM 1500s, full-size trucks. And it's, I wouldn't say it's really good news right now. It's
okay,
not.
What did you find? What's the,
so,
what's
the, so first of all.
Give me the hard, unfiltered truth.
First of all, we looked, bottom dollar, if you're walking into just at least one of our local RAM dealerships.
And this
right
is
now,
regional, so this.
This is regional.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this could differ. You know, if you're in St. Louis, of course, things could be different from
our sample
Denver.
Size is one.
Yes. But this is one of the biggest RAM dealerships in our area.
Okay, fair.
The lowest price RAM 1500 that I found, that Case and I found, had a sticker, window sticker price of $52,000. This is a crew cab 4x4 Ram Tradesman 1500. 52 grand, that's a high number. It was discounted.
Was it a classic or was it?
No, it was a brand new one.
It was a new one, okay.
But it had a Pentastar V6, oof, a 3.6 liter V6 under the hood. So not a lot of power. And I think our producer Cole is picked this out. So this white truck, if you're watching us, was 52 minus, I think it had about $4,000 of discounts.
It has e-torque? Pentastar has
e-torque?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's just a mild hybrid system that they still have it, and it's labeled right there on the hood.
And it's white.
Of course, it's white with steelies.
Yeah.
So that's a high price as an entry point, at least at this particular dealership.
So was that Silverado next to it cheaper?
No, because it's a heavy duty.
Oh.
That's a big boy.
Right, well,
that's
did you a big find, boy. Okay, let me ask you, did you find cheaper?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Okay, because
so you found
you could
cheaper
buy,
Chevys.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
We found several for about $43,000.
So $9,000 less.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So several. So, but, here's a but. The Chevy we found, you could actually go a little bit before this, Cole. The chapter before this was Silverado. And another Silverado. They're two-door trucks. RAM in the 1500 space do not currently have a two-door base truck because the Classic is discontinued, right? The Ram 1500 Classic has been discontinued.
Yeah, that's an HD call. That's the wrong one.
Right before this. Fast forward, go one more chapter before. There it is.
Okay, there we go.
They don't have a two-door regular cab, you know, and that's kind of how you bring the price down.
You told me an interesting bit of trivia. Who did the first crew cab?
The first crew cab, because this has been kind of bugging me. I wanted to do this story for a very long time. I wanted to see the genesis of a half-ton crew cab, and I found one.
Yeah.
It's a 2001 F-150 crew cab. So if you look up 2001... F-150 crew cab. That
so
was the
so
first.
So Ford innovated that. They were the first.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So GM was right around that time, a little bit later. Ram was a little bit later. But I think Ford saw that people wanted a little bit more comfort, a little bit ease of use. They had, they wanted to bring a lot of people. Because before 2001, there were heavy-duty vehicles.
Remember, we had that truck, actually. Do you remember? We had it with the Axis cab. A little door that opened up the other way, but not the full crew cab.
Right. Before that, you know, you could buy a heavy-duty truck, a diesel truck that was kind of clunky. I mean, it was kind of big and utilitarian and kind of hard to use every day. But Ford kind of saw the need for the F-150 crew cab, and they did it in 2001.
All right, so let's go back to what we were talking about, which is why Ram might be in trouble. So your thesis, Andre, is that Ram is in trouble because their trucks are too expensive.
And they don't have a lot of options.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
No, explain that to me.
So two-door truck is non-existent right now.
Yeah.
They don't have a mid-size truck.
They
at
don't.
All.
I don't know why the Dakota isn't around.
No, it's not around.
I mean, there's one word, right? Gladiator.
Yes, Gladiators are around, which are also kind of pricey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very pricey.
So we saw a Gladiator at about, we calculated about $48,000. Then their heavy duties are not, the new ones are not out yet. And they're discounting really heavily the existing heavy duties. We saw that also. The Ram heavy duty Cummins Laramie, so pretty nicely equipped, we saw up to $20,000 off. $20,000 off on an existing heavy duty.
So there is some good news here, and that is that Ram has recently announced that Tim Kuniskis has come out of retirement to be the head of Ram. That's the good news. And the reason I say that, Andre, is because Tim certainly knows how to play hardball when it comes to pricing, when it comes to kind of, because, you know, as head of Dodge, he was always, or the brand and him were always the underdog, right? They were always out there fighting the Camaro, fighting against the Mustang. And they created some pretty interesting products. With one word, I will name it, Hellcat.
Hellcat V8 power. And I think Tim Kuniskis understands the American market.
Supercharged V8 power. But
he was helpful. He was part of the team who created the TRX.
Yes. You
know, he pushed for that as well, to Ram TRX.
But I've read some interviews with Tim, and he's learning, or he's not traditionally been a truck person.
Okay.
And this might be a problem because I understand that he did really well in selling Hellcats and Chargers and Challengers to muscle car fans, but it's a different beast when you're selling trucks to people who use them for utility. That's why there's been this incredible, you know, war having to do with almost anything in the truck, be it the tailgate, be it the torque numbers, right, be it its towing numbers. And this is very different from what he's used to, right? He pioneered kind of that roadkill nights, right, where people would show up and they go drag racing. But trucks are different. These are tools as
numerically driven.
Very numerically
driven. And also enthusiasm driven, right?
To some extent.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of truck sales are fleet sales. Those are certainly aren't enthusiasts. I mean, if you go to Johnson's where you shot this video, you'll see hundreds of trucks and they're all white, right? That's not because they're being sold to
you and me. It's on purpose.
They're being sold to fleets.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering if you can take the strategy that he applied to Dodge and also apply it to Ram. I get that, you know, he created the TRX, but that was also an answer to Ford. So Ford really created the first desert truck, and that was the Raptor. And so that was kind of an answer to a product that Ford had already created. But will he be able to actually take the same strategy that he used for Dodge and apply it to Ram? And I'm not sure that's going to be possible. And one of the things that you've pointed out is it's also very much driven by pricing. And what happened was under the previous CEO, Tavares, basically he came from a European perspective and he was like, hey, we're selling quality products. So how do people know they're quality? They're expensive.
Raise the price.
And Ford and Chevy were duking it out, you know, fighting for every dollar.
Yeah.
And Ram kind of stood back and said, hey, if you want something high quality, and it didn't work. It basically tanked their sales. And that's why Ford sales are at least partially.
Yeah.
So can Tim actually come back and actually do a strategy that will put Ram back in the ballgame? I don't know. And the other thing that worries me a lot is in the full-size truck market, they're fighting for percentage points or less.
Yes, like 0.1%,
yes.
0.2%.
And Ram just flushed like multiple percentage points of market share down the toilet when they kind of stepped back. They took decades to get there. And then within less than a year, all that evaporated. So
I have faith in Tim and I have faith in
the Ram
team.
I don't
want to
be Debbie Downer, but there's a lot of work ahead.
Can I add a little bit of humor to this?
Oh, yes, please. More humor, the better.
So I've been doing my research on the Super Bowl commercials this morning.
Yes.
I watched many of them. I think I watched about 14 Super Bowl commercials this morning. This is a Friday before the Sunday. And there was only one automotive commercial. Everything else had to do with food, you know, chips, beer, etc. But there was one automotive commercial, and it was Ram.
All right.
And Ram has they hired Glenn Powell.
Can we play that commercial?
I think so. Yeah. If Cole goes to Ram Trucks YouTube page, he can.
I haven't seen this. I'm dying to see it.
So it's fun. Yeah. Glenn Powell is an actor, right? He did the Twisters movie.
Yeah.
And now he's appearing in a Super Bowl commercial for Ram. And they have a long version of it. Do you want to just listen to it a little bit? Oh, we can't play the audio.
All right.
That's okay. But it's a fun, it's called The Three Bears, really Goldilocks.
And he's playing Goldilocks.
Yeah, so he is called Goldilocks, and it's fun. And they're basically what they're doing with this commercial is that they're showing not him wearing a wig, but him, watch this, Roman. Bam.
He sees the trucks.
He sees the trucks. The Ram Charger, the Ram RHO, and the Ram Heavy Duty.
Yep.
The three bears, right? So the Ram Charger is their range extended electric vehicle.
And now there's a Dragon spitting fire.
Yes. That's the heavy duty truck that's coming out within the month of right now.
And now he's barbecuing the Dragon.
He barbecued the Dragon. Yes. Yeah. He ate the Dragon. And also the RHO is their new sport truck. So Ram at least is putting, this was a big investment, by the way. They spent a lot of money, I'm sure, to making this production, hiring the actors, and also paying for the time at Super Bowl.
Yeah, now there's a volcano that he just jumped.
He jumped a volcano.
In the RHO?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a fun, that is a fun story.
And his children are asking, Dad, what are you doing?
He's a handsome man, Andre.
He's very handsome.
I got a man crush just watching this. Yes. He looks good with short or long hair.
And there are the bears.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see the bears?
Yeah, and the baby bear.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's a good commercial. Yeah, you guys should seek it out if you're online. Go check it out on Ram's website. It's really good.
So
is that the long version we just watched?
Yes, that's the long version. It's 90 seconds.
Yeah, all right.
So I have faith. So first of all, Super Bowl commercial. It's one of the only automotive commercials out there. So they're spending some money. They're trying to reestablish the brand. Tim also went on the record to say he needs desperately a more affordable truck. Unfortunately, this means that a midsize truck that he announced, he didn't say Dakota, by the way. He didn't name it by name. But he said in 2027, we should see a midsize truck.
Oh, it's too late.
But it's 2 years away.
It's too little too late.
Yes.
You know, I mean, how many tacos is Toyota selling? Quarter million,
Toyota is they're back on track. Yeah. They're selling a quarter million Tacomas per year.
Yeah, and then now Ford, of course, is also selling Mavericks, right?
Yeah. Don't go to Maverick yet. Okay. Let's go to Ranger.
Let's talk about Ranger.
Let's go to Ranger first. Cole, if you can pull up a Ford Ranger, the new ones, 2025s. They sold 4,500 Rangers in January, which is a huge improvement from where they were before.
Okay.
4,500 a month doesn't sound very much.
You multiply that by 12, yeah, and you're it's 60,000.
It's almost, it's getting to that range. But that's a huge improvement. And once again, Ram has no midsize truck in the United States. So it could be a big problem for Ram.
So I think under Stellantis leadership, they kind of felt that they didn't want to compete with themselves. That's why it's a Gladiator, right? So that's a midsize truck. So I think that strategy has proven to be not wise. And unfortunately, now they're on their back foot.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. And also Belvedere plant, you're very familiar with that plant in Illinois.
I used to live in Janesville, I used to work in Rockford, which is right next to Belvedere. Yeah.
Yeah. And that plant, I mean, it's been shuttered, right?
Closed. Didn't they built a Cherokee there?
They built a Cherokee last.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Cherokee, this is mind-boggling, Roman. Can we just switch to Cherokee for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
It's the most popular segment. We talked about the RAV4 and the CR-V Honda, and the Cherokee is non-existent right now. And they closed the plant, and they're saying they're going to reopen that plant to build midsize trucks.
In 2027.
But it's going to take a long time. I don't understand. I don't get a lot of what they were doing there. I don't get it.
Well, obviously, Carlos Tavares was not a truck fan. Which is weird, because I'm sure if you look at the numbers of trucks sold and money earned, Ram had to be one of the jewels
in the crown. Goose.
Yeah.
It was the goose that laid the egg.
Out of all the brands, because they certainly weren't selling that many Alfa Romeos, Andre.
Yes.
Or Fiats, for the matter. All right.
Maverick.
Let's talk about Maverick. How is Maverick doing?
Not good.
Okay, that's weird.
So that is weird, because we actually bought one Maverick.
Yeah, we helped the Ford put one on the board.
One on the board, but it didn't help.
Yes, I know.
Because they sold 8,700, just over 8,700 Mavericks in January, which is a 29% decrease.
But could it be because they're kind of switching over from the old one to the new one?
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues. Once again, Casey and I went to a local Ford dealership in Brighton.
Yes.
And we only saw like 6 Mavericks, and they were the old generation.
Yeah.
They were the 2024 models.
And by the way, it's built in Mexico, so if those...
If those tariffs get in 30
get
days
your
from
Maverick
now,
while you can.
Yeah, so this could be an issue. They're apparently... I don't know, maybe they're shipping them. Maybe they're stuck in shipping. Maybe, you know, they're not producing as many as they wanted to. But I think it's still a very, very good little tiny pickup.
Yeah, let's talk about the Maverick for a little bit. So I've been driving it for the last 2 weeks, and I've kind of fallen in love with that truck, Andre.
Okay.
It seems to do everything really well. It's very.
A lot of people say it's not a truck.
Well,
what do you say to those people?
So I think Ford might tell you that they're trying to win over crossover buyers who, you know, necessarily wouldn't think of a truck.
Well, it worked last year. I mean, they sold...
What's the definition of a truck? It's got a bed.
It's got a bed. That's my definition.
Yeah, it's got a bed. Well, I mean, it's
a pickup.
It's a three-box
design
shape. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much a truck.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a tailgate.
It tows 4,000 pounds, which is not a lot, but for a little vehicle, it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I just find it to be just kind of a great little runaround. It's easy to park, Andre. Ours... You know, is not getting the fuel economy that Ford says it should be getting, or the EPA says it should be getting, but maybe it hasn't been broken in yet. So I'm.
And also, it's been very cold.
It has been very
cold. So several days, several weeks, in the beginning of the year have been very, very cold.
And the reason Andre said that is because we were one of the first, I think, to get the hybrid and the
all-wheel
drive together, and so the hybrid would be affected more so by the cold because it's got a battery. But I'll tell you what I love about it. So for me, it's just a very easy vehicle to live with. And at some point, that's one of the biggest criteria that I use, right? I'll give you an example. So I went to the post office and I drove our Ranger Raptor.
Okay.
And this guy came out and he was like all over it. He was like, wow, what a cool truck. And there are times in your life when your car's in coffee where you want people to say that. And then there are times when you're rushing to the post office and you have to get back to work. Where it becomes kind of, you know what I mean? Like he's, hey, tell me about it.
Tell me more about your Raptor.
Yeah. And I at that point in my life, I just wanted to go mail my mail and, you know, get the heck out of there. And one of the nice things about the Maverick is it's almost invisible. If you guys are out there, now that you're listening to me, next time you're on the road, start looking out for Mavericks and you'll be amazed at how many are out there. They're just invisible until you actually think about
it. I've seen many of them. Used by contractors. Like I've seen many of them with racks,
yeah,
with ladders
they're
on top of them.
Contractor trucks.
Yeah.
They're in some ways they're the most trucky trucks of them all because they're not bought by the TRX crowd because they don't do that. So they're bought by like security companies.
Yeah.
They're bought by, you know, painters,
plumbers,
lawn care people.
Yeah.
And they're just like in Europe, the van is the most inconspicuous thing you can have. And I think in America, it is now the Maverick. And I think the reason that they buy them is not just because they're inexpensive. They've gotten more expensive, right? They started at $19,000 for the two-wheel drive, and now ours was $36,000.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of room, surprising amounts of room.
And we're big people. We're pretty tall.
You're 6'3", I'm 6'2", and we can comfortably sit in the thing. They're also... have like very simple to use controls. So it's basically a screen and then some audio controls with a real volume knob. Huh, go figure. And the seats are incredibly comfortable. They're cushy and being fuel efficient. You know, you could, when I fill it up, it says I've got like 400 miles of range, which is crazy.
And also it has a small tank. It's got like a 14 or a 15 gallon tank, which doesn't take, you know, a lot of dollars to fill.
Yeah, I would say the Maverick in some ways may be the truckiest of all trucks. Because it's the one that's actually used most for truck things.
Yeah, and actually, I think I'm really shocked that more manufacturers are not playing in this space.
Yeah, what the heck? Toyota?
GM.
And GM and Ram? What the heck?
Toyota could knock this out of the ballpark because they have efficiency.
Yeah, there's that rumor of the Stout. Right?
Yes.
Which is.
But it's been a rumor for a year or two now.
And we haven't seen any prototypes. We haven't seen any glimpses of an actual real Stout out there. And maybe it's coming. Maybe it's not. But yeah, I don't understand why they're allowing Ford basically outside of the Hyundai Santa Cruz play in this space by themselves. The other thing I like about it is, you know, we have a big dog. And it's low enough that he can get in and out of it without me having to lift him up. You know, it's no fun lifting a 105-pound dog into the back of a truck. This time we just opened the door, he boop, jumped right in.
Mm-hmm.
That's also great. It's got CarPlay, which is wonderful. And we did splurge, and I'm glad we did, for the heated seats and for the heated steering wheel.
It automatically
turns on when I get in the truck. So all of a sudden, my butt is warm, my hands are warm, the seat is comfortable. Great visibility out around. And then because we've got the more expensive one, the XLT, we've got blindside monitoring. Now, Ford, you should, like the Japanese, be providing a lot of this stuff as standard. Unfortunately, American manufacturers don't.
And you have to pay additional. Yeah.
But it feels like it's relatively safe, and it's super easy to drive. And, you know, the CVT, even though it's a planetary gear set, doesn't bother you as much as I thought it would. Because the thing's not fast, so I'm never like hustling it around anyway. You know what I mean? I'm never out there like, hey, let's see if I can race this Tesla, because I will lose. I guess I could beat
But that's not the point of this little guy.
No, I could probably beat like a Ducevo or a Cinquecento. Sorry, I'm getting car talk. But yeah, and then the bed, I haven't used very much yet. But like today, we're going to be moving some boxes, and it's great for that. We had it
bedlined
with Linex. So now I'm not afraid to you know, throw sharp and pointy things in there. I would say it's my favorite truck of the year so far.
So they sold about 131,000 of them last year.
That's a lot.
And I predict they're going to bounce back. If they can ship more trucks, unfortunately, I mean, if the Mexico-U.S. relationship is going to get tougher, it's not going to help the Maverick. It's going to hurt the Maverick. But I think if that relationship is okay, I think the Maverick truck is going to bounce back in a very huge way.
And you know what else is great about the Maverick? And I sound like a Maverick fanboy, so I get it, guys. I should have my hardcore journalist hat on and, you know, be critical of it. But what I'm saying is, you know, from my heart. The other thing I like about it, which is gone in a lot of expensive trucks, and we can talk about those in a second, because I just drove the Silverado 2500 Duramax across country. I just put 2,000 miles on it, towing back our 4Runner, our new 4Runner. But the other thing that's cool about it is it's got a lot of kind of relatively inexpensive like materials.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could criticize them for being scratchy or for being cheap. But the nice thing about it being inexpensive is you don't care. You know, I don't care if it
scratches.
Yeah, like the dog, you know, put a big footprint on the side sill. I don't care. Right. I was eating French fries and one of my fries fell, you know, in between the seats, and I was like, it's a truck. You know what I mean?
What if you were driving a Raptor R that cost $113,000?
I would be very upset if I got ketchup.
On the Raptor R.
On the Raptor R. Whereas on the Maverick, I'm like, it's a truck.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
There's a lot to be said for that kind of inexpensive. Yeah. And I know, okay, like $36,000 isn't inexpensive. But in the scheme of things, when the cheapest Ram you could find, full size was $52,000, that's a lot cheaper.
Let's switch gears to electric trucks.
Let's not switch gears to electric trucks. You want to hear about my Duramax experience?
No, but let's finish this up.
I'm betting they would rather hear about my Duramax experience.
No, electric trucks are not doing well, Roman.
We know that. that is the most obvious statement. Ford can't sell Lightnings. Everybody hates the Cybertruck. A Silverado is way expensive. I mean, you know, first of all, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about all three of those trucks. This is my opinion, Andre. So can I get on my soapbox here?
Yeah, all right, please.
Those three trucks. And we can leave the Rivian for last.
Okay. By the way, they're also not doing good at all.
Right. Let's just start.
Okay.
Rivian, Cybertruck, Lightning,
Silverado EV.
All too expensive.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Just all too expensive. Like who can afford, you know, an $80 to $100 truck? $80,000 to $100,000 truck, which is what we're looking at on all those trucks.
GMC Sierra EV is also out, also very expensive.
So it should come as no surprise that they're not selling.
I think there's a couple more wins against it as well.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about political wins at all.
Yeah.
I'm talking about insurance.
Expensive to insure.
Usually very, you know, very expensive to insure an electric vehicle right now, because it seems like the insurance companies are really looking at some of the repair costs, which could be very, very high. So it's hard to insure. And also resale value is tanking. You know, a lot of these electric trucks, I just saw a used 2023 F-150 Lightning electric truck at like $41,000.
Still too much.
Yeah, but it's like half of what it was.
Yeah, we had one. We owned one.
Yeah. So I think resale is not good. Insurance is high. There's a lot of wind against
it. The charging network
is bad.
Is bad. But let's take them one at a time, and I'll give you both the good and the positive and see if you agree with me, okay?
Okay.
So let's start with the one that's up there, the Lightning. Best ride of any F-150, period.
Very quiet, very powerful.
Yeah. And
nice.
I got to say, Andre, as much as I was just whining and whinging about, you know, how expensive they are, instant torque. I was just reading a story about people who went from electric vehicles back to internal combustion, and they just were like, I can't do with this. I can't do it anymore, because once you're used to like the quietness of an electric motor, how quiet the interior is, the instant amount of power and just the sheer amount of power you have, right? The smoothness of the acceleration, you know, if you have it at home and you're using your house as a garage, how you can just charge it up at home and never have to go to a gas station. It's hard to go back. Having said all that, Ford, I think, made the big mistake of making that like Lightning with only 150 miles of range, not the extended range one,
but the base one.
The base one had nowhere near enough range for a truck.
And I think
the
extended it had range, like 200 something, 220, yeah, low 200s.
Okay, but let's gunga it in.
What?
Low 200s officially, 150 really.
And towing, forget about it.
Yeah, yeah. And same problem with even the extended range. Ours was supposedly like 320 miles of range.
We never saw that.
No, maybe 250.
But can I say one more thing positive?
Yes, of course.
I was driving by a local library, okay, yeah, which is on my way to work from my house, and I saw the city. So they're very popular with like utilities and the city companies. I mean, governments who are maintaining, you know, the infrastructure. I saw a Lightning, an F-150 Lightning, with his front open. You know, the front was open, and two workers were using, they plugged in their tools, and they're pumping. They had some plumbing issue at the library. They're pumping water out of the...
Did you go to the bathroom in the library?
No, I did not plug anything.
Did you clog up the library, Andre?
No, but they were using the Lightning as a power station.
To unclog your
To plug. Unclog this something. See how useful it is?
It's hard for me to say that with this goatee you're sprouting now.
It's a weekly thing, okay, Roman? I'm going to shave.
Is it just... The goatee is there by the end of the week by Friday, and by Monday it's gone?
It's gone.
Is that because your wife says enough? Or
yes.
You, okay.
My wife hates it. This is the evil Andre, okay?
You guys are getting the evil Andre today, not the kind and sympathetic Andre. You'll have to wait for Monday for that once his wife takes out the roller pin and says, go shave yourself.
But they were using the electric truck as it was intended. Not a lot of range, but very useful as a power station.
Look, I love electric trucks, Andre. I think they're wonderful. I think that they are some of the best trucks out there. But they do have issues. So let's talk about the Cybertruck, which we owned. So much technology. I mean, first vehicle to steer by wire, rear wheel steering, air suspension.
It will drive itself if you monitor it.
Yeah, with FSD.
Yeah.
It'll drive itself. I mean, it is technology to the 10th degree. And of course, we're not going to talk about Elon Musk right now because that's a whole nother topic. But let's just keep him out of it just as a product. The vehicle is incredible. It's kind of a moonshot of technology, right? That tan-out cover that covers up the rear, the fact that...
The way it steers.
The way it steers.
Air suspension.
Where it's variable, so you don't have to change, you know, you don't have to go like hand over hand.
It's got locking differentials.
Yeah, and then FSD works until it doesn't work. And the biggest problem, of course, the biggest problem with that truck is it's become such a political hot potato, right? Because it stands for basically, to a lot of people, everything that's wrong with Musk, right?
The truck and is the values living. Are tanking of them.
Yes, yes.
The price of the Cybertruck.
Yeah, because every YouTuber who wanted one bought one.
Yeah, so, and now they're trying to sell it.
Yeah, so the style, of course, extremely polarizing. At first, I think it worked for the vehicle, right? Because this was the buzziest. The fizziest vehicle, not just truck, but vehicle out there. But eventually, I think public opinion and truck by opinion hardened against it, right? People, eventually all the people that were squawking and complaining about how, you know, it's dangerous and poorly built and how things are falling off of it, yada, yada. You've heard all those videos. You've seen all the videos where it gets stuck in snow. I think eventually that congealed into this, like, public belief that the truck is dangerous, unreliable, expensive, which it is, and of course, you can't divorce Musk from it, kind of a physical manifestation of what they believe he's doing now or not doing. And the biggest issue for him, of course, is that they're not selling.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't care about Tesla. I don't know. He seems too busy dealing with the federal government.
You know what?
I don't know.
And they don't really publish really accurate numbers anyway.
Right.
Because they lump it in, you know, with Tesla semi-truck.
But here's how you can tell it's not selling. They keep lowering the price in the used car market, you know, right now for a long time. Dang, they were selling for twice. You could double the price.
Huge markups.
Yeah. And now they're, you know, if you can get 80 for one, you're probably doing well. They're doing incentives to sell them, right? So they're lowering the lease price. I mean, you can tell it's a company that is working very hard to sell something that people don't necessarily want to buy.
Exactly. And yeah, once again, we don't have like GM data, the latest numbers, but
this is the part that I feel is a shame, because I actually really like the truck. But you can't divorce it from all the politics now. It's too late.
Yeah.
It's just too late. But as a truck, should I say cyber car, because it really is more of a cyber car than a cyber truck, I really enjoy the thing. I enjoy driving it. You know, I enjoyed the way that the styling looked. I don't mind the styling. I think it's quick, it's
comfortable.
Yeah, it's very different. There's nothing else like it on the road.
It doesn't have a good visibility. No, I mean, for a driver,
good visibility.
But it is comfortable. It is quick, and it's fairly useful.
All right, let's move on to the Silverado EV.
Yes,
it's kind of early days for that. I mean, they just came out, but once again, very expensive. A lot of range, a lot of battery, but a lot of money.
Yeah, this is an issue. We saw a couple at the dealership once again when we were there. They're sitting on the lot. Also, we saw a couple of Sierra EVs as well. Some of the Edition 1 Sierra EV Denalis.
RSTs are like 100K.
They're 100K. The work truck Silverado is still like 75K.
Yeah.
That's like Ram RHO money. You could buy an RHO for the same money.
I had to go down and visit my in-laws, Tommy's in-laws, to be fair. In the Springs, and I had the Silverado EV with Super Cruise.
Yes.
It drove all the way down. It was really nice.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that stretch from Denver to Colorado Springs is kind of a bear, right? Because there's construction.
Traffic, yeah.
And it didn't put a foot wrong.
So they're expanding the lineup, right? The LT we recently had, that's the truck I think you're talking about. They're trying to lower the price. They're trying to offer different battery sizes, slightly smaller batteries, more value. But once again, they don't have price parity, right? If you compare a Silverado EV, certain level like LT versus internal combustion LT, the electric truck is still way higher priced.
Yeah. And then, you know, that midgate is actually, we used it. We had to move some lumber around, and the midgate is a very useful feature. So there's a lot of clever engineering. I like the layout that they use. I think from a kind of a look at me, I feel expensive. I think the LCD screen is really nice. It's actually very easy to use. It's Android Auto based. And in general, it's just a nice place to spend time. And it has tons of range, right? I think I want to say on a full charge, it goes 400.
It's crazy. I mean, even with the smaller batteries, higher batteries ones approach 500 miles.
And if you could sell it for 60K, I think you'd have a hit on your...
But you can't right now.
You can't. 200 kilowatt hour battery is going to be...
It is expensive.
So
yeah,
it's a good truck.
So that's where we are with electric trucks.
Well, we forgot the Rivian. Don't want to...
Well, we've also had the second gen Rivian, right? It's very impressive. I love the Rivian style. I think their design is really, really attractive still. Even what, 3 years later, right? Their exterior looks good.
This was the bell of the ball, right? This was the one that got the whole electric truck world moving.
Yeah.
When they unveiled it in LA several years ago, and it had all this clever engineering, right? The pass through for
the performance, the speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, four motors, holy cannoli, off-road capable, beautiful interior. It just had a lot going for it, and it set off the whole electric truck craze. It also set the bar for how much electric truck costs. And when it was the only game in town, people were willing to pay it when it was new and different and unusual. But now, same problem. The thing's $100,000.
Yeah,
like most of them. It starts
at 72, but it's almost impossible to find the 72,000
exactly.
One.
Yeah.
Once again, quite expensive, even though they improved a lot about it. They improved the motors, the battery enclosures, the interior wiring, a lot of the stuff you cannot see.
Yeah, which is problematic.
Which is problematic. You know, you cannot see the wiring harnesses. You cannot see the motors. So they're doing a lot of improvements, but they're also struggling to sell them.
All right. Well, let's do a little bit of a shout out to all of our diesel truck fans, because I'm going to talk about what it was like to tow with the new Silverado HD Trail Boss.
Heck yeah. We actually have a story about this on our website as well.
Yeah.
TFLtruck.com. You could see that there as well.
So I hadn't driven, you know, you've done a lot with that truck, right? You towed heavy with it. You've Iked it. I haven't really driven it much since we bought it. And it was a real eye-opener because how much was that truck?
So it's stickered for about 77-ish. We had a couple grand, you know, discount. So I think we bought it for around $73,000, $74,000.
Yeah, as you can tell, there I am showing kind of the fact that we were towing our new 4Runner. And the reason we were towing it is we didn't want to pay California registration taxes. So we thought, you know what? Let's just trade in the G-Wagon, which, by the way, we lost a lot of money on.
G-Wagon is gone.
Yeah, we lost $10,000, as we always do, Andre.
Well, not always, but sometimes we lose a lot.
58, sold it for 48. Wasn't the smartest business decision on my part. That's on me anyway. So
sometimes we buy vehicles that we love.
Yeah, yeah.
And we always wanted a G-Wagon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right? I did. Yeah, I was. It was a passion thing, and I feel bad about it. Anyway, so there it is. And then the G-Wagon was heavier. So that trailer is, what, 3,000 pounds? The G was
so
about...
So you're pulling like over 8,000 pounds.
Over 8,000 pounds, yeah.
Yeah. Altogether.
Yeah, the Duramax was a pleasure, Andre. Just a pleasure to pull that much weight. So we were averaging... The Toyota's a little bit lighter. It's better aerodynamically. So with the Toyota, we were averaging like 11 and a half. Over the course of, 1,000 miles, and with the G, it was more like 10. So it was quite a bit different. I mean, the 500 pounds or more, and the fact that it's like a brick in the wind makes a big difference.
Aerodynamics plays a big part, as we have learned over the years, as far as trailers.
But what I learned, and I've driven our old Ram a lot, right? So there's obviously new Ram HD coming, and I've driven that. Much more trucky. I mean, super, super trucky, right? You get behind that thing, you get this big hood, right? It's designed like a semi-truck, and you can hear the clatter of the diesel.
The exhaust brake comes on.
You can hear
on.
The exhaust brake.
Yeah.
Right? It's so trucky, and you got this kind of... This is like driving a Yukon, right? It's basically dead quiet inside. You can't even tell you're pulling anything because 8,000 pounds for this truck is nothing. And the interior is super luxurious. My only complaint are the seats.
Hard seats still?
They're still hard, and there's not enough leg support. Now, if you look at this, you'll see that we got some little side steps. Thank you, GM sent those to us, and they were a lifesaver because I took me and Tommy took his 93-year-old step-grandfather to be with his son in California, and the truck is tall.
It's tall, but there's a lot of space in the back seat.
There's
right?
a lot of, yeah, he loved the back seat, but to get in there, I had to go to Home Depot and find one of those little stools. So it was
so
like,
you can climb up.
Yeah, it was a stool, step, and then into the truck. Yeah. And luckily, there's a big handhold. You can see the step. See it right there?
Yes.
And then he had the big handhold. So he's kind of fragile. So it was really great. But once you're in there, it's like you got the view of the world.
Yeah.
Tons of room.
Yeah.
So
do you think it's good or bad? I mean, do you like the trucky noises the Cummins makes, or do you love the comfort? Way would you go?
I love the trucky noises that the Cummins made driving from here to the ranch.
But maybe not for 15 hours?
Not for 1,000 miles and like, 4 days, which is what I drove that for. I did have some little things that I didn't like. Once you hook up a trailer, it should know you're trailering, as GM likes to say, or towing, as we like to say. And so every time you get into it, you have to turn on
the tow-haul mode.
Tow-haul mode, which is kind of a pain.
I don't get it.
Because you forget.
Some manufacturers are better at that than others. I don't understand why.
And then the other one, you can see it there, you have to also turn on the exhaust brake, which is actually really good. We were coming down the Ike Gauntlet, and Tommy's like, I don't think this thing is doing anything. And I'm like, okay, turn it off. And second he turned it off, the truck went like 9,000 RPM. It was like, bing, 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 trying to grade shift, trying to hold the speed. And then the second he turned the exhaust brake on, it just relaxed and made driving so much easier. We didn't have Super Cruise, and we didn't have adaptive cruise control. But, the only time you really need that is like when you get close to LA or maybe through Vegas. But when you're in the wilds of Utah and Western Colorado,
turns, many, many turns.
There's not a lot of vehicles really that could.
And also, it's fun. I mean, when you're going through beautiful scenery like Utah and some of the Nevada and Colorado areas, you're enjoying your drive.
Yeah.
You want to steer, you want to be involved. If you're across Kansas, maybe you want to be driven.
Look, I think towing is in itself stressful, especially, you know, you can see going through here and you've got very
semi-trucks,
tight turns, semi-trucks, cars next to you that are darting in and out because they're not paying attention. And it's nice to be in a vehicle that is relaxing just by the way that it's designed and the way that it, I don't know, what was it like? Let me ask you this. What was it like when you towed that very heavy trailer? How much did you tow, 14,000?
We did 17.5.
Yeah, what was that like?
So it became, I could see the limitations.
Yeah.
So we always use WaySafe hitches.
Yes.
So WaySafe hitches have built-in weight gauges.
I use that, by the way, when we were loading up the different vehicles.
You could see the tongue weight.
Yeah, so if you go forward on that trailer, it increases from, like, first we had like 500 pounds on it, and we wanted to get more tongue weight so that it wouldn't sway.
Exactly.
And you go like maybe 6 inches or 7 inches forward, and all of a sudden it jumps to 900 pounds.
Yeah, it changes a lot.
It's a really good thing to have.
Yeah.
Another way I'm saying is the hitch has a little scale, and it tells you how much tongue weight is on it, which is wonderful.
So let's say you estimated your trailer at like 8,500 pounds with the G-Wagon, right? You want to have 10% of that trailer weight on the hitch, and the WaySafe hitch lets you dial that in exactly, right?
Yeah.
Very precisely. So when I pulled a gooseneck trailer, we also used the WaySafe gooseneck hitch in the center of the bed, and we were able to dial in the weight. But with maximum payload, I think we used all the suspension. So the suspension was hitting the bump stops now.
Mm.
So when you load this Silverado Heavy Duty all the way, it was becoming uncomfortable. You know, the suspension was kind of hitting. So I would say if you're towing anywhere between like 8,000 to 14,000 pounds, you're okay.
Yeah.
But if you want to push it further,
maybe you could choose up a 3,500 or a dually.
Yeah. I would go a little bit heavier truck. If you're towing over 15,000 pounds, I mean, it's still rated to do it. It still did it. But it becomes a little bit more uncomfortable.
Now, I did like the mirrors. I like the fact that you can adjust the top mirrors, but can you adjust the bottom portion of those mirrors?
Manually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, our truck is a Trail Boss, which is based on kind of a more basic trim.
Yeah.
Ram.
Is it an LT?
LT. Yeah. LT based.
Yeah.
Ram is really good at this. The new Ram trucks have really good mirrors. You know, you can adjust the top portion, and the bottom portion.
And the other thing that that GM does, which, you know, they need to learn a lesson from Ram, and I miss this, is when you hook up a Ram, you take, you know, you make a right or left turn, and the blind spot monitoring,
like, self-calibrates
and says that, you know, all of a sudden it accounts for the trailer. Here's GM's solution to this. It throws up a little message that says, by the way, blind spot monitoring may not be accurate because there's a trailer behind you. No kidding, GM.
Why don't you help us?
Why don't you? I mean, if Ram can do it, it's probably just a software thing.
It's probably because it uses the rear camera, right? Yeah. Sometimes to kind of calculate.
And then the other thing I found
the trailer is
disappointing was in the mirror base, there's a little tiny camera on the other side. And when you make when you change lanes left or right, it takes the screen and turns it into the camera. And the camera is like, dude, from 1982, it's like a potato cam. And so in the daytime, it's somewhat useful because you can kind of see what's next to you. At night, it's completely useless. And the problem there is once you make a turn, it obliterates whatever is on the screen. So if you're like trying to get to a gas station and you're using
navigation,
you lose it. You completely lose it.
So I think that blinker camera feature is configurable.
So you can turn it off?
You could turn it off and off. So I think Cole is helping us. I think you are using this feature now, and we can see some of it. I think you're going to use your blinker right now. Yeah, that's what you're talking about, right?
It just takes the whole screen.
Yeah, you can disable that.
And look, on the right, there's we had a little clock going there, but why does it take that away too?
Yeah,
it
took everything away.
Because you could have navigation rolling because it's such a giant screen.
Yeah.
And even there, you can kind of see how, you know, look at the blue, the deep blue above it and how badly washed out the camera is.
Yeah, it's not a very high quality.
And we had one incident, Andre.
Wait, what happened?
Look, I'd love to like sing the praises of this truck because I do love the truck, but it's boring. So I got to give you the incident.
What is
it? So we had a cunning plan where we were going to try to make it from, because we stopped in Vegas. So from Vegas to LA, it's 4 hours, and then back again, it's 4 hours. So you could potentially do that on one tank of gas.
Vegas to LA.
Yeah, so you could potentially go.
Towing,
you could. Yes. It's a big, 36 gallon?
36.
Yeah, so you could potentially do it with the diesel. So I thought, diesel in California is like $5-$6 a gallon.
Expensive.
Diesel in Nevada, like $3.50 a gallon. So I thought, we got to make it. So we're coming back, and we're very close to the border. And the truck says, I have 120 miles of range left. I'm like, no problem. It's like 30 miles to the border. We're going to do this. You know, we're not going to pay $6
You're going back to Vegas.
We're going back to Vegas, baby, and I got 120 miles. I'm driving along thinking good, and I look down, 80 miles.
I know what's happening.
80 miles, dude.
I know.
And then Tommy's like, are you going to make it? I look down, 30 miles. It went from 120 to 80 to 30 miles like that.
Within a matter of minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, like that.
So there's a couple of things working against you, Roman.
Yeah.
Not just the estimator inside the truck,
and
which
the
is working against
and
you.
The little gauge also went down. Yeah. So it was like you know, it split into fourths, right? So yeah. I had like a quarter tank, and then I looked down, and I had a half a tank. Where'd it go?
You're also going uphill.
Yes.
And it's usually really windy there.
Both of them.
Was it windy?
But still, I guess it
Come
was
on, you're going. You're going from sea level in Los Angeles to, I don't know, 3,000 feet, 4,000 feet above sea level, you're climbing these grades.
Dude, we figured this out. This is one of those like 1970s vehicles where like first half a tank is 20 gallons and the last half a tank is
like 5 gallons.
Yes, exactly. Or maybe the first half is 30 gallons and the last half is 6.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Whatever the float thing is doing, it's not doing it accurately.
Yeah, and it's not estimating.
Yes, we were going uphill. Yes, it was
into the wind.
But it shouldn't go from 80 miles while I look over at Tommy down to 30 miles. And then, of course, we had to stop in California. We had to pay $6.20 a gallon, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was no bueno. But otherwise,
you know which trucks are better at estimating?
Who?
Electric.
Yeah.
Because you can see every percentage point, right? You could see every percent of the battery. And with a fuel tank like this, it's hard to estimate that.
Yeah. So otherwise, I love the truck. I'm curious to see what Ram's going to come back with. Are you going to go drive the new Ram Heavy
Duty? Heck yeah.
When's that?
Heck yeah. It's expected by mid-March.
Okay.
Mid to late March.
So soon.
Yes.
Right. So within, you saw it. You went and looked at it.
Yeah. So we have many videos about the new 2025 Ram Heavy Duties. They have the new Cummins engine. They have a new 8-speed automatic ZF transmission. And we get to drive them a lot in March.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
You think it'll still have that, like, you think it'll be more like this? Or you think it'll be, well, first of all, the Duramax is down on power, right? Compared to the Ford. Super Duty.
A little. Yeah. So it's down on torque quite a lot.
Like 200.
Yeah. So Fords make, you know, over 1,000 pound-feet of torque, and the high-output Ford is 1,200 pound-feet of torque.
And this is like 1,000.
This is 970.
970, yeah.
Yeah, 975. So, but still, a lot of usable horsepower. In the Duramax, you have 470 horsepower. Unfortunately, in the Ram, the new Ram Cummins has 430 horsepower. So Ram did not prioritize horsepower, but they're telling us that it's going to be more efficient powertrain. It's going to be very, you know, much quicker. I cannot wait.
Hey, by the way, what the heck is up with DEF pricing? So you go to a gas station. I saw it. DEF, we had enough. $34 for that little whatever it is container.
So, wait, $34? That's robbery.
That's what it is at a gas station.
It's robbery.
Not at a truck stop. A gas station.
Okay.
You know how much it is at Sam's Club or Costco?
Half that.
13.
Less than half?
Yeah, $13.
Okay. So this is a plug for Costco and Sam's Club. Buy your DEF fluid there.
Yeah.
And you know, they sell it out of a pump at the truck stop.
Yeah, I didn't go there.
But this is a tough one because quality of DEF also matters a lot, right? And Alex Lightman, he's no longer at our company, but he had some issues in his comments with his DEF fluid.
Yeah, it basically clogged up the filter.
So it really depends on the quality of DEF fluid. If you buy good quality, sometimes those pumps have corrosion, you know, the little, not corrosion, but like leftover
smudge.
Smuts.
Smuts. Smuts on the on the pump.
On the nozzle.
On the nozzle.
Please.
Yes.
Watch out for the schmutz, okay?
Right.
Watch out. So, yeah.
But
dude, that can is like 2.5 gallons.
Yeah, yeah. So
$34 for 2.5 gallons of fluid?
Yeah.
That's robbery.
Yeah, and on that trip, we used most of it.
Yeah.
So we used the entire tank, and then we've got now 4,000 miles on it, and our oil life. That's a good thing. The Duramax does tell you, like, a lot of facts, except the turbo gauge. Is there a turbo gauge?
No.
We could not find the freaking turbo gauge.
There's also no turbo gauge. There's no exhaust brake gauge. Because Ford now has an exhaust, you know, exhaust brake.
And no turbo gauge.
Yeah.
Come on,
GM.
You can't hear the turbo, so I was so curious as to, like, when we're into the turbo and we're not into it.
GM, please give us more gauges.
Yeah, but they have all these other gauges, like percentage of oil life.
Air
filter life. Yeah, we're down to below, like, 40% now.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going through it.
Yeah, we're going, and with the diesel,
well, down. That's why we bought it, right? Yeah. We want to test it to the fullest.
Yeah, yeah, so luckily we're putting some miles on it. All right, well, I think we've,
exhausted our
viewers. I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry about that. Sorry for exhausting you.
Thank you for watching and listening.
Use your exhaust brakes, please, on all your trucks.
Yeah, and GM, just have it turn on when you've got a trailer hooked up to it.
Yeah.
If you're doing trailering, you want to be doing it with the exhaust brake.
You know what they can learn from? Ford, GM, and Ram should really look at
Toyota.
Rivian.
They could
look at Rivian.
No, Rivian.
Toyota, please.
Toyota heavy Toyota. Duties.
No. Guys, please look at the way Rivian and Cybertruck do things. As soon as you plug something into a Rivian pickup truck or the Cybertruck from Tesla, the screen reconfigures itself. It recognizes the wiring. It asks you certain questions about towing. It gives you all the information there. Rivian even estimates within about 100 pounds how heavy the trailer is.
Yeah, like the second you plug in the Cybertruck, it says, are you wearing a cat hat?
Wow.
Are you wearing Carhartt?
Yes. Or DeWalt. Do you have DeWalt tools with you?
Are you wearing cowboy boots?
Yes.
And then it configures the truck based on your particular specifications. No, but I'm being funny. But of course, yeah, it does all these great things, right? So like I love the fact that the Rivian actually has built-in scales. So it knows how heavy your load is.
Yeah. Not just how much your suspension squishes,
but how heavy the load
is. Yes.
Yeah. And so you could probably then work.
And Ford is getting there. I mean, Ford has a lot of good features too, but I think they can do better. All of them.
Let's leave you with one last question. Is it towing or trailering, Andre?
Well, we're towing the trailer. So we say towing. I say towing.
I say towing. What do you guys say?
Let us know.
As always, this is Roman
and Andre.
We'll see you next time. Ciao.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.